Hi, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and you're listening to Ardent Atheists, which is a contradiction in terms, because as soon as you're ardent about something, you believe. So these people are full of shit. But listen anyway, because it's fun to listen to people who think they're right.
Hello, and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from our other podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10, or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I shall smite thee.
You can't smite anyone.
Try me.
I'm not trying to start a fight or anything. I'm just saying
that. Do you really want to go there?
I just don't think that you can smite.
I will smite you, so help me reason.
What the hell is smiting anyway?
Boom! You're smited!
I really don't feel smited.
You are.
Please unsmite me.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want or get smited.
Yeah, and rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. The show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you smite-fearing nincompoop. We're coming to you live on stage from the fabulous John Lovitz Comedy Club on the GoCast Network. Universal City, California. On the stage in Universal City tonight, we have coming to us when he gets here because traffic fucked him. Paul Prebenza will be here. Will Anderson filling in temporarily for Paul Prebenza. We have Ian Harris. And we also have Prashant Venkatraman.
I can explain.
No, hold on. I got this.
All right.
I thought of a system because I knew I would screw it up again. Because last time you were on the show, I fucked up your name. What did I do? Oh, yeah. I recorded this.
He's a friend of the show, a comic you may know. He's named after his mom.
If it's too hard for you, split the name in two. It starts with a V and ends with an ink. He'll do it in your bum. Try saying it when you come.
Oh, thank it to Ramanujam.
He's our chum, 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 chum.
An East Indian word, it sounds a little absurd.
Venkataramanajam, Venkataramanajam. He's our chum, 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 chum.
If you're trying to learn but can't, you can just call him Prashant.
Venkataramanajam, Venkataramanajam.
If that one trips you up too, you can just call him Cecil.
Venkataramanajam.
Prashant Venkataramanajam! If you think I can't say that name now, you got another thing coming, my friend. That is Prashant.
Yes,
you know these guys from Showbiz.
That was phenomenal.
Was that fun or what?
Is it my birthday?
No.
I
think you should use that on all of your road gigs now. That should be how you
intro
everywhere.
Now?
Yeah, we turned it into a song because we had a lot of trouble pronouncing that.
The last time I had you on the show, I could not fucking do it. And I walked around the house because I take that seriously. You know, I really want to get the guest's name right.
Yeah.
And I walked around the house all day. I watched you on a video say your own name. So I knew how you said it. Venkataramanajam. And I got it down. And I was walking around literally to a tune. Venkataramanajam.
You must have looked insane for that week.
Well,
he did. It was funny.
It was
really just a day. But then I get you on the fucking show and I screw it up.
Was that Shelley, by the way?
That was Shelley Siegel.
Oh, that's I did the show with her.
Can I just say that, if nothing else, you should download that as your ringtone. Because that, like, that is worth that is worth being alive. Whatever has happened, I mean, I just met you tonight, but whatever has happened in your life that got you to this point, where someone wrote a song that cool about you that you could put on your phone, that is a life
the
well lived.
The possibilities are just not fuck ringtone, text tone. Every time I get a text,
I want to tell
that
you
that shit's gonna play.
I am sure that we got one thing wrong on that song. I don't think you're named after your mom.
I'm not.
I didn't think so.
But it rhymes, so
well,
it works.
I
creative license. Everyone does it. We're universal, okay?
It was actually a statement against just how patriarchal society we all live in. So it's a little more deeper than that. Will Anderson is with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, sorry. I talked before it was my turn.
No, not at all. I'm really happy to have you on the show.
Thank you.
They don't realize it, probably. But Will Anderson is an accomplished artist from Australia, household name, whereas here, nobody really... Isn't it weird?
It's a little weird.
You can't walk in a mall in Australia.
You know what? That's true, but that is because of another incident, and I can't go into it.
For she was
legal
13,
reasons.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like, if a girl's going to go out to a mall, dress... that is not the sort of comedy I want to bring to this room tonight.
Yes, it is.
I realized I was going down a route that I had no... Oh, I was like, I can't go there. Oh, my God, Chilean miners. And, no one knows me here, which is absolutely brilliant. It's been really good fun.
It's fun, right? You get to start over, kind of.
Well, you know, I mean, like, for me, the greatest thing about stand-up comedy has always been those gigs that, like, back home, like, don't get me wrong, this is great. People come to my shows, but they come with expectation. They expect it's going to be good. Like, they've paid a certain amount of money, right? They come through the door going, well, it's got to be at least this good for me to enjoy this night because I've invested, like, my money and my week in this night. Well, you have to be very good to, like, really blow their minds in those situations. But the beautiful thing about going to somewhere where no one knows you is you walk on stage with no expectation. And, like, you know, you can get to the end in 10 minutes. Like, in 10 minutes to go from a room of people being completely cold or indifferent to you to 10 minutes later just feeling at one with that room. 10 minutes!
Yeah.
And you've communed with these people. Oh, my God! I cannot believe people pay me to do this job. It is the best thing in the entire world. And that's what I love. That's what I love about being here.
Yeah.
But, by the way, I would like to be famous, so let's cut that out now.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Will.
No, my pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you. We always ask our guests on the show. We asked last time Prashant was on what Prashant believes and how he was raised. We're going to come back to a little bit of that later. Talk to us about what you believe. You think there's a God out there? Where's your head on this?
Look, I don't believe, but I'm not an active non-believer, if that... I'm not an ardent atheist. I felt like I was misleading coming
Well, thanks for being here, Will. We appreciate you coming in.
You know what it is? It's really just differently contextually. We were talking about this just off air. And the thing for me is that my religious battles only ever come on, like, a case-by-case basis. I'm a case-by-caseist. Right? Because, like, if an issue comes up, like, in Australia, we're having a debate about gay marriage at the moment, and I certainly believe that... gay people who should be able to get married. It just seems like people... I honestly had someone say to me, you're living in West Hollywood, are you freaked out when you see two men holding hands? I was like, oh my God, I'm in America. If I see two men holding hands, I love that because it means two hands that do not have guns.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right? If they have got a cock in each of the other hands, here's what I feel. Safe, America.
Well, right. It depends on what's coming out of that cock, I gotta be honest with you. In West Hollywood.
Know what? That's friendly fire I'm happy to be part of, to be honest.
That's
in that
really
situation. As long as it's human and not a drone, I am fine with that situation.
You never know.
But anyway, my point being that I don't... I think here I would be more ardent because you have so many more battles day to day. Like, you know, obviously I believe in a woman's right to choose when it comes to abortion. In Australia, that's just not an issue. People don't... It's not even a debate that we have. anymore.
Well, so you do have the religious right kind of starting to fight in your country.
They make
right?
a lot of noise, but they're not a big part of the country.
Not this like us.
Not like you. Well, gay marriage is the sticking point, but on issues like the death penalty, we don't have the death penalty. We don't have, like, you know, you can get a safe abortion at any stage, and it's not a sticking point. Australia was, in a recent survey, the least religious country in the entire world.
Yeah.
Really? Of any, over Sweden? Over
any
the...
religion?
Really?
And the theory behind it is that the nicer the place you live, the less likely
triangle,
you are to
yeah.
be religious. And like that's what it's like in Australia. People are like, why would I go to heaven?
I don't understand. What is your
here.
Hot button issue then? You named off all our problems. What do you guys... What do you even debate? Why do you even have a parliament? What are you debating there?
Well, you know, no, there are... Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, religion does stick up its ugly head every now
sure.
and again and get involved in those. And I think why Australia hasn't gone with gay marriage yet is because of this weird religious sort of, you know, it's traditional or it's, you know, whatever that is. But
sure.
there's also a thing in Australia where, like, we realise we've missed the start of it, but we don't want to be the people that make documentaries about, you know? We don't want to be South Africa. And, like, South Africa have gay marriage. And when South Africa is more progressive than you are, then fucking hurry up.
Now, you know? How old is Australia? When was...
Like 220 years.
Okay. So you're running ish. About the same we are then.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So you're just behind.
Well, it's like, that's what I always like, and there's a great Australian comedian called Greg Fleet. If you ever have the time, like, research his stuff, he's brilliant. But he made the observation once that everyone always says the Australians went to Australia and they killed the Aborigines. That's what everyone says. The Australians went to Australia and they killed the Aborigines. The Australians did not go to Australia and kill the Aboriginals. The English went to Australia and killed the Aborigines. Right? That is what happened. Then Australia happened after that. But it wasn't Australians who came there on a boat and
right.
killed the people who were there. It was the British. So don't fucking blame us for that shit.
Hey, Emery, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Since Australia was a former prison colony, it seems like you guys would be fine with man-on-man action.
Well,
that's
know-
why they don't have a problem with it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we only like it in prison, though. Prison rules, you know?
Amanda, it says, according to Cameron, we are currently not live streaming for something.
We were, so let me go ask him.
Okay, double check right now. 7:07 that came in.
Save your good stuff.
So, yeah, we're trying. We're trying to stream.
This
Ian Harris,
you.
Ladies and gentlemen, is in the house. Let's hear it for Ian. Let me tell you something.
Just going in. I'm standing in for Paul yeah. Provenza.
Ian Harris was not scheduled to be on the show. I called Paul Provenza. He was somewhere near Highland and the 101 and trying to get here.
That's California traffic.
It you. Is. It's Los Angeles traffic.
So he'll be here in 3 hours.
That's exactly right.
That's what, 5 blocks away?
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's not going through West Hollywood or he would never make it. But
he's on the GoCast page.
Oh, okay, good.
It's up. I'm watching it.
Cool. Thank you very much. Make sure Cameron knows where to tell people to go.
What will we do without it?
All right, so Ian and I together shot a special, and it has so much skepticality and atheism in it, I can't imagine we will ever sell it.
Yes. Well, thanks for the encouragement.
Yeah, we'll get this thing
started.
No,
sold. Yeah, for sure. No, and it's perfectly done, beautifully shot, thanks to you.
Thank you, sir.
People who've seen the footage, friends and family, are like, wow, this looks like it's real.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the point. One friend said, "Hey, you look professional up there." I'm like, "Well, let's hope so." Who does that? That's an insult. You don't see that anywhere else. Hey, you're
now you would call yourself an ardent atheist.
Definitely.
Yes.
Born and raised.
All right.
And
I'm assuming you're not an ardent atheist. Is that right?
I'm kind of. I fall on Will's spectrum. I'm a case by case.
I wish that was easier to say because I think we could really market that.
You'd think I'd have more practice with my name,
case
but
by
I can't.
Case
by atheist. Exactly.
We need a little jingle people can download.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll have it next time you're on the show.
case by atheist and anthem. You guys will have it.
That's it. That's very funny.
I'll start writing.
Now, how were you raised, Prashant?
I was raised Hindu, specifically Vedantic. Study. I don't know if that matters to anyone here.
It means it's not Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's not Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Right. That's a relief.
Well, actually, you always get free food with the Hare Krishna, so.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. They're pretty good people. They're
yeah.
just,
and
they're just
a lot of really good vegetarian
really
food.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's hear it for Ian Harris.
I didn't say anything, but thank you. The professional. Ian
Provenza is finally here.
Can I just start by saying that if there is a God, I would just like to say to him, fuck you for traffic. Let's just start with traffic. We'll work our way to genocide.
All I'm saying is, Paul, you should download the first 48 minutes of this because I was fucking hilarious.
You know?
Yeah, you guys did.
I'd like to hear more
that's
from
always,
Paul.
Whenever I see you, it's always right after you are hilarious.
Vince, I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you being here. I just want to say more after this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist with a live studio audience on the GoCastNetwork.com, ArdentAtheist.com, and available at the iTunes Store. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Emery made a comedy CD in the early 90s? Well, he did.
I did.
All the physical CDs are gone, but Emery's stand-up lives forever on iTunes and CD Baby. Just go to cdbaby.com/EmeryEmery to download Purveyor of Filth. Emery's
that reminds me, I got to clean out my closets, too.
It's a CD from the early 90s. Don't worry, he didn't make too many references to Nancy Reagan or ALF. You won't be confused. Go check it out now at cdbaby.com/EmeryEmery or on iTunes and hear why Emery decided to go into film and television production.
And now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. You wrote that, my friend. We're talking with Paul Prevenza, Will Anderson, and Prashanth Venkataramanajam. I got your name down.
What's up, Paul?
Prevenza, you missed the...
And Gary Stockdale and Eric L.
You
Schwartz are here.
We haven't mentioned the musicians yet. We have Gary Stockdale. We have Eric Schwartz on the stage with us, bringing us some tunes.
They're and not Prevenza. Just chopped liver.
Yeah, and well, everyone knows you're here, baby.
I said they're not just chopped liver.
No, they're not. I thought you were saying I was.
No.
I know this is a weird visual thing to talk about for the people at home, but I can just imagine earlier in the day when the crew from the venue are being briefed and they're like, the musicians will probably come in a bit earlier, you know, to sound check, and they'll be like, how will we know which ones the musicians are? Oh, they'll have hats.
The hats.
Yeah.
The hat, comes with your musician's union
look
card.
Look for a guy in a hat.
They give you a hat from the 50s, and they say, you know what to do.
That is a thing. Why is that a thing? That's all the musicians wear hats.
It's not the musicians. It's the bald people. Most of them.
I'm not insecure. Oh. Boy, I said that insecurely, didn't I? Yeah.
I don't know. I was just looking at you thinking, you need a fucking hat. That's all I was thinking.
Also, there are two sentences that don't go together in the entire world. One is, I'm not insecure. And the other one is, hi, I have a podcast.
And true. Have you heard my album from the 90s?
Fuck you. So, Prevenza, thanks for being here again.
Thanks for having
Prevenza
me.
Prevenza was on episode number one and probably four other episodes that I don't
more
remember.
More than that.
Yeah, no, many
well,
others.
I was coming for two and I just got here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was coming for episode number two and I just made it.
We just have to book you more in advance, I guess.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you something. Everybody wants to know what's going on with Green Room.
What is going on with Green Room? We are looking for a new home. We've got a handful of people who want to get behind us, but not enough yet. So we need some more money, basically. We need to find the right entity. And we're talking to some people internationally. And the dream for it is to be able to produce it along with producing Setlist at international festivals. So both shows are completely international with comedians from all around the world.
Okay, cool.
So that's what we're
trying. So you're working on it.
We're working on it.
And Setlist is going really well.
And to that end, because we do need a little bit more money to make it happen, I'll be selling my CD from 1982. The Glory of Vanderbilt bit is phenomenal.
I think Prevenza is working really hard at not getting me to invite him to do the show. I think that's what's...
I don't want to make this schlep.
Really? Is someone's phone ringing? All right.
Well, take it. Take the call.
Yeah, no kidding.
We want to know, too.
I wanted to talk tonight about something that I saw on the news that kind of... A teacher is suing a school over religious oppression. Did anybody read the link that I sent you?
No.
No, yeah. Right.
Well, I did, but I don't want to say I did because it'll just look like I'm perpetuating a horrible stereotype about Indian people. So I got super self-conscious and I was like, I did, but I shouldn't say anything.
Brown nose.
Overachiever.
I'm not sure.
I think it's offensive to call him a brown nose.
I annotated the article and everything, Emery.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Do you use a little highlighter?
Yeah. Yeah, Prevenza was cheating off me.
You finished before everybody else.
I've got to be honest with you, I read the link as well.
There you go.
Oh,
so
good.
I don't
Fantastic.
Know if that perpetuates a stereotype about Australian people.
There is a teacher.
Is this about wearing the cross?
I don't remember seeing it in the
Oh, by the way, after I did read the articles, as I told Heather earlier, I did spend 10 minutes looking at pictures of her rad haircut. Like, because I Googled her as well, because I'm like, I should know who else is on the show. And then, like, I'm Googling through pictures, right? And I was like, oh my God, she has such red hair.
Is this the first time you're meeting
her?
We've
not met. And I'm Googling, and then I'm like, oh my God, there's so many red pictures on the internet. And then I'm like, am I stalking her now?
I can't believe you've never met. Most of us have a restraining order.
Yeah.
Wow, no, we had never met. It's an absolute pleasure. And excellent fucking red hair, by the way.
Seriously, red hair. You can only wear. You just need a piece of a hat.
Yeah, I have one.
Side hat.
Just goes right here.
You do have one. The little tiny gold one.
It's perfect if you wanted to wear a yarmulke.
Always good for an audio podcast, by the way. This kind of
yeah. The visuals that no one can see.
We are actually streaming live on Ustream right now.
You're on camera.
Yeah. Oh, we're on camera.
So yeah. Stop picking your nose.
You could have dressed up a little bit.
I would have looked exactly the same if I knew.
Man, I'm glad I did that hat bit now.
Well, when I read the story, you want to brief us on the story, Heather?
A school teacher is suing her district after being told to remove religious displays from her classroom or risk being fired. She's a science teacher at Cheektowaga Central High School in a Buffalo suburb. And she has things on her bulletin board and little sayings, and she has a prayer box on her desk. And she's been asked to take that stuff down or face being fired. And she's suing for religious... What's the word?
Discrimination. Well,
discrimination. Thank you.
So what she's saying is that she should be allowed to proselytize to these kids. What bothered me the most about this story is the principal and the people in charge of the school, they didn't do really, it sounds like they didn't do anything until someone actually complained.
That's usually what happens.
Isn't that interesting?
No, that's usually what happens.
A student complained to the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I'm sorry. The thing that disturbs me most about this story is... that she's a science teacher.
Yeah,
right.
Anyone can
right?
run.
Like, this is a person whose entire brief as a teacher is to take the evidence and the facts. Like, I don't mind, like, an artist or someone who believes in something or someone who wants to go on a flight of fancy or finds some actual power in their life through the thing that they believe in. Great. If that's all it is, then great. But this is a science teacher.
According to the Pope, science and religion are no longer incompatible.
Yeah, he fixed it. wave of his magic homosexual wand.
Yeah, so it makes sense if you're going to be teaching evolution or biology, you want to have Christ up there.
There was this guy who's the he's the head of the Catholic Church in Australia. His name is Archbishop George Pell. And he came out and said that he made this big speech about how he didn't believe in climate science. Okay, this is... Right, you believe in an imaginary guy in the sky?
Yeah.
But apparently all the scientists in the entire world... want to see more evidence.
Yeah, it's like, not like this has ever happened before, particular conundrum.
I'd like to point out it's not all the scientists in the entire world. Exxon has a whole bunch of scientists that disagree with this.
This case about the teacher, I'm assuming it's a state school, right? Not a private school.
Yeah, it's a state school. Okay. It's a government.
So there's really no issue here. I mean, it's kind of there's really no question in this case. I mean, she's simply not allowed to do that. The one case that is more interesting to me along the same lines is a teacher who was banned from wearing her crucifix on herself.
Okay.
She wasn't proselytizing per se.
Okay, that's bullshit.
Or have anything, whatever.
That's bullshit.
But she was wearing a crucifix.
Yeah,
that came to the fore. And that's an interesting and compelling case. Because at what point,
What if I want to wear a crucifix upside down?
Yeah, but what if she wanted to wear a swastika?
Well, I honestly don't have a problem with that. I think that...
Well, you're a bad example.
Yeah, there's actually a video of me being Hitler right now on YouTube.
No. I think that's a disingenuous argument because here's what
it's
I
not
would,
an argument. It's just
well,
a question.
Well, here's okay. Well, then I would say.
But I'll argue something else.
Here's what I would say, is that it's all about like, you know, where you draw your line of what's acceptable. So people can identify as whatever they choose to be.
Yeah.
And then you should have the right of saying, okay, well, at this point, we make moral judgments on who someone is. So if someone's wearing a swastika and says, this is who I am, then you might want to say, well, you know what, because of what you've identified yourself as being, this is not compatible with the ideas of our organisation. Whereas you go, well, someone's wearing a cross, it's okay to be a Christian.
Well, like, okay, but see, that's where we differ.
But don't we think, as like a society, still we're at a period of time where we're like, we've got to say it's okay to be a
Christian. But it's an interesting question, because it gets into the teacher is the authority figure,
yeah,
and the teacher is a representative of the institution, and she's presenting herself as a believer, and it is argued that wearing a crucifix is a form of proselytizing.
Do you think she
should
wear it?
That's where it gets very, very interesting.
How do you feel about politics in teachers' mouths? How do you feel about a teacher teaching something like climate change science? Like,
and how about churches being limited from what they can say to their congregation about politics?
Yeah.
It's sticky, it's shit. All,
yeah.
I feel like
if this is how they did the Comedy Central roast, they wouldn't be as popular.
A panel discussion. But also, one thing I don't understand is, like, at what point does just, like, I don't agree with having a prayer box on a teacher's desk, but is that necessarily proselytizing?
Well,
like, is that considered it? If someone does want to drop it? I mean, it's also clearly a suggestion box that students can drop whatever they want into if they want. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, was she actively...
When I read the story...
Well, the crucifix on the wall, like, the cross on the wall is pretty... I mean, it's pretty in the pocket there. You know?
Sure.
No, a cross
but
on
they also
the wall
mentioned
is heinous
that there was
and obvious. I mean...
Biblical quotes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, at what point does a quote stand on its own merit? Because it's, like, granted, like...
When it's Dylan.
When it's what?
When it's Dylan.
I am such a fan of Jacob Dylan and the Wallflowers. So, yeah. It's quite...
But, music. Like, at what point, if it's, like... You know, this is also another... question to pose is, like, if it's not necessarily preaching anything specifically about God, about just being a good person, something that needs to be taken down?
Let me clear it up for you. A June letter to the teacher instructed her, Mrs. Silver, to remove several posters and sticky notes with religious references, including a poster with images of an American flag and text with superimposed quote, "Be on guard, stand true to what you believe, be courageous, be strong, and everything you do must be done in love," period. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that is fucking proselytizing. It doesn't belong, A, in the school, and more importantly, A, asterisk, anywhere in a fucking science class. That's how I feel about it.
But if the
fuck
quote,
that shit.
If the quote was there without 1 Corinthians, are the words of the quote that bad?
I think, aren't they good advice without the words down the bottom?
Yeah.
This is the problem we have
tell
with
you
religion
about
is
goddamn
sometimes...
goddamn Corinthians. I know it's a very PC culture, but the fucking Corinthians, I'm sorry.
But you know what?
I hate those.
I think this is our problem sometimes with religion is, along the way, with all the bad shit that we can acknowledge that it's swept up, it's also swept up a core principle of some good shit as well. And just because we want to get rid of all the bad shit.
Yeah, but you know what? Hang on a second.
Society.
I think it's very important. I think it's very important to separate morality from religion and faith.
Yes.
It's any time, I always like to point this out, which is why I'm here with you all tonight rather than having a good time. But,
I love the guy that's late.
But this is why I always...
it's always great to shit on the crowd, Paul.
Yeah, I was just... I'm late because I was trying to see if there's any other podcast I could get on. But
you would have had been a better
just,
time
you know,
if
I mean,
you were
I mean,
here on
I mean,
time
there's,
to hear this,
there's a little bit of a presupposition in your statement that the good parts of religion, you know, sort of justify religion or faith or whatever.
No, that's not the argument I was making.
Okay, I just want to clarify that, you know, whatever is good about religion does not need religion to be good and to be put forth and live.
But here's the thing I'm saying is we're arguing the exact same point, which is this. Some of the things that
so this
us
is like
people,
the toilets going down a different way in your country. And
I feel like that is actually what it is. We're dancing around in different directions because...
If this was skeptically yours, I would clear up that that's bullshit.
Is it Bushu?
The Coriolis effect only occurs on really, really tiny little things, not on on heavier things like that. It certainly happens in space and whatnot, and you in know, the atmosphere. But
by the way,
the
anything you want to know about toilets, Emery's your guy.
Also, you know what? I don't want to get bogged down in this area, just for the record. Yeah. But let's not talk about which way they go down. Let's talk about the unnatural height you keep the water in your toilet, so that it is so hard to do anything in the toilet area without dipping your hand in the water of your toilet. Just have the water lower. We have low water.
Well, you know what? I think
saggy are your boys?
How tiny are your shit?
I think we need to examine exactly how you operate in a bathroom.
What minuscule tiny little
it is an appropriate light.
I need more water to flow. I take shits that big,
yeah,
man.
Here's what you guys though. Should do if you haven't looked around. Stop eating.
Oh!
Stop eating. Your entire country, stop eating. You can't afford a bucket of chicken for $4. It's unnatural. It means chickens are tortured so you can become something that will kill you. You are on a horrible process from the greatest country that there ever was into the world's punchline. Please stop.
Now
you are the
to me.
Only thing we have to protect Australia from China.
I think you're ignoring
the fact that there are good things that trans fats give us and bad things that trans fats give us. One
Bless
of them
you,
is fats.
America.
The good thing is the reason, taste awesome.
The reason we eat that way is because we got fucking toilets that can handle it.
Right. Right. That's exactly what I'm saying, but we're arguing in different ways. Very much like the point I was making.
I will say this, though, in American toilets, you don't need a brush next to every one of them like you do in your country.
That's true.
But you need one next to mine. Hey, Will, let me ask you something.
No, sorry, can I just clear this up?
Go ahead.
Because the only thing I was trying to say was...
That's where I was going.
I think sometimes we throw out, because we believe in the same things as they believe, the core moralities that don't come from religion, they just come from humanity and us having to get along as a... We sometimes go, boo, boo, religion, which throws out the very things that we share in common with religion that we like. We just want to say boo-boo all the shit we don't believe in.
Not necessarily. I want to say boo-fuck all of it. But here's my question. Can you tell me a couple of good things about religion? I'd like to hear what's in your head about that, because there was some supposition by Provenza. But you're not saying. Tell me what's good about religion.
Do unto others as they would
That's
have you do unto you.
That's an awful fucking tenet.
No, I don't think it is.
Absolutely awful. And after we come
do
back
from
this...
Do unto others as they would do unto you is an awful tenet?
An awful tenet. When we come back from this break...
Really? I give a lot of people handjobs.
I will teach you.
It's the Nazi thing again.
I will teach you why. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on the GoCast Network. ArdentAtheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. We'll be right back after this. Did you know we have a premium service? We already give a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option, and that's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. Yes, we actually do that. I get an email every once in a while saying, I honestly can't afford $10, and I give them the fucking subscription because some people give us more than $10. So be generous, support the show if you can afford it, and please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe.
That's Emery doing his good works.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense. You can believe him. We're talking with Paul Provenza, Will Anderson, and Prashant Venkataramanajam. All right, listen. Here's what's wrong with the golden rule.
Okay.
We've done this on the show before. Prashant, did we talk about this?
No, we did not.
I don't remember talking about it. Okay. What do you think of the golden rule? Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing or neutral? What do you think?
I've gone back and forth about it, but I'm currently thinking about your previous question, which I wanted to address.
Oh, well, let's go back. I'll come back to
which
oh,
was the...
Mr. I read the article.
You want to talk about something
Damn
that's
it,
good
Paul,
with religion?
I already expressed my insecurity about mentioning that I read it. No, I wanted
everyone
to mention...
at home is like, this is like an episode of Lost.
Yeah. If you want to... I know it's bad to defend religion on Ardent Atheists.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
But community. I mean, if you look at the amount of churches and different places that are religious based that actually form a community and they take care of homeless people and soup kitchens and things like that. I mean, that is definitely one merit that I don't think people that don't, may not... I mean, there are definitely causes that other people could band around, but religion is primarily where people gather.
That's a totally valid point.
But only by default.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm not arguing the cause or why... I'm not arguing that... That's a good reason to do it, but it happens.
Yeah.
And it happens and it promotes good for those situations.
In some cases.
It can happen without religion.
Absolutely,
I mean, look
but
at this
we're
right
shooting
here,
for an ideal, yes.
Yeah. Right. Well, listen,
that was the exact point I was trying to make, which is we're transitioning out of a period, and I think we are, and we recognise this. Like, my parents' generation were much more religious than my generation and before.
Absolutely.
Right? So I feel like sometimes we throw out the idea of the gathering with the bathwater of going, religion is bad because of the gathering, where we just go, well, we celebrate things in common, which is we like gathering. Here's what we should also celebrate in common. Gay people getting married and people being having an abortion and, like, you know, you not being a nutbag.
I think we should gather around things
that we should have in common as well, right?
Yeah. We should gather around all gay marriages. We should have gathering we should have gatherings of gay sex. I think that's what we should do.
Fellowship.
It's called an orgy.
Yeah,
it's called the Catholic Church.
We have that.
It's called a bathhouse.
Yeah. Eric Schwartz.
Have you been to Emery's apartment, Paul?
Yeah.
Well, you know, can I just point out something?
Oddly, he has.
But I agree with that comment, which is like, if we were saying something to the church, like, we're cool with the gathering, stop fucking the kids.
Yeah.
That's like our first.
What's the point of getting together? Here's an interesting thing, though, Will. You are Australian, and Australia is predominantly an atheist country. I mean, you
would have heard me say this if you were here on talk.
That's right.
But I think that's interesting.
Can we play that back for Paul, please?
No, I think that's interesting, though, because there's a certain perspective that you can have that feels very comfortable, which is very different when you're in a place where religion, and particularly
is
the fundamental Christian right,
your life.
Is a political threat.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you know what the weird thing is about tonight is I came here going, like, it's not your country, and I know that your attitude to religion will be so different to what theirs is, and just keep it to yourself and don't pop
no.
up.
No
and
way.
I really felt like halfway through, I was like, I've just got to actually express that. Because to me, it's almost like me saying, it doesn't have to be like this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm from a place where it's not great, but it's fucking heaps better than what
it is
here.
What's interesting? You know what's interesting is most Jews that I know who identify as Jews, which obviously is identifying as a religion, but they're actually atheist. You know, they're cultural Jews.
Yeah.
But
right.
But they, right you know, they have you. A connection to... they all have
right
hats.
Right in front of you.
They got a lot of hats. And that's an interesting scenario where all the benefits of religion, this sense of tribalism and some sort of lineage and community and all that sort of stuff,
you
exists
can't look at
really
like that idea of like Friday night Shabbos part. Without thinking, oh my God, how cool would it be if it was compulsory to kind of get together with people who are most important in your life every week? And like, I mean, I'm sure there's some downside to that, by the way, but there is something about that also seems...
I moved across the country to avoid that stuff.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, Paul, Jews tend to say, I'm a cultural Jew. I'm an atheist, right. But I'm a cultural Jew.
Right.
And you could use the same term, culture, when dealing with people gathering in places and giving
exactly.
charity
point, yeah.
and all the stuff that if you were to remove all aspects of Christianity out of our culture right now, you would be removing... some charity, you'd be removing some gathering, you'd be removing stuff that right now we do not have the mechanism to instantly replace. And that, I think, is why people feel very threatened.
Well, when Jews give charity, they're not trying to convert you to Judaism. When Christians give charity, very often, they're trying to convert you to Christianity.
That's what I was going to say earlier. My problem, Prashant, with that
you
one
know
particular
you
example...
You know you had to convert to Catholicism to be treated by Mother Teresa, no
right.
matter how ill you were.
Right. You know. That's my problem. When you couple the helping...
I mean, it is my thing. If you're not keen to convert, like, how keen are you to get well? I'm, like, fake it for a few weeks and then run off when you're healthy.
Well, I think sometimes people do that out of desperation.
You
absolutely
have not spent
that
a lot of time around Catholicism where you'd know death is sometimes preferable.
You know, people who need help and they can go... The only thing they can find is a religious charity and they're being proselytized to... They fake it. They fake it so they can get the things they need, just the normal day-to-day things.
Yeah, I have a friend who was struggling with homelessness, and he found a place where he could go and stay, but in exchange for the bed and the shower, he had to go out and proselytize and raise money for that religious group. And that's fucked up on 100 levels, and I am offended by every aspect of that kind of home.
It is, and I'm not even sure that
that's
I...
That's now in L.A.,
look,
right
that,
now.
That is fucked up, and I'm not even sure I agree with this question. So please don't think that I'm, like, putting my agenda on this. But
you need to stop worrying and say what you think.
But
nobody's going to do anything except make dick jokes about it.
The only question, I would ask in that situation, and I'm not sure I know what the answer to this question is would that charity that person is being helped with exist if religion... religion didn't exist in our current day. Like, I'm not talking about 50 years from now or 100 years from now, where we've evolved past it as a society and we've got used to it. But right now, if you took that away, with that same opportunity for that person, but exist without the religion. Now, I'm not saying you should be being proselytized or having to do that, but would it exist without that?
The whole reason philanthropy and these sorts of organizations and works exist is because there is a vacuum. And yes, that vacuum would have been filled, absolutely.
You think?
Well, we are definitely, it's already filled with NGOs and Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah. These things would exist, I argue, without religion. If we had never, ever needed it, which we did need religion, I think we needed tribalism in order to survive. I think these were tools that helped us evolve, naturally select for success. And they worked. We're done with them. Let's fucking get rid of them. Let's get everybody on board. And let's stop being fucking retards and bowing down to a fucking god that will kill you if you don't. That's all I'm saying.
And that's how I feel about chimps and gorillas. We're done with them. We've moved. We've evolved past them. There's no point to them, really. They're just silly. Anyway, let's get back to the
golden
rule.
They're great in clothing.
Will you explain to me what's wrong with the idea of the golden rule?
Oh, yeah, the golden rule.
Oh, right. Thank you. I would love to. Here's my problem. You have to, first of all, understand what the golden rule says. And that is, you said it very clearly, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
It does predate the Bible.
And I said that understanding that. I'm just saying that at the heart of most organized religions, you will find that principle, because it's a principle that guides us as humans that has been reflected through the various things that people believe.
Okay.
And I think you believe it even if you don't believe in it.
But it's modified by religions. It is the fundamental sort of morality of all religion. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, unless they're others. Unless they're not one of us.
Right. From a religious standpoint, if you read the Bible, actually read the Bible, which most Christians don't, thank God. If you read the Bible, it's awful. It's all of those rules are about that group. The other ones, fuck them. You can fuck their women. You can kill their children.
What religion is that? I want that religion.
That's Christianity. Jump right in and just go with it.
Damn it.
But you
got to
go word for word, and you got to stone people for fucking each other when they're not. All right. Now listen.
Golden rule.
The golden rule is awful, in my opinion, because it tells us that we can figure out what other people... the golden rule makes miserable both the sadist and the masochist. Put those two people in bed together and they are not going to please each other if they're abiding by the golden rule. And I think family members do this too. It makes us make the mistake. It helps us make the mistake that everybody processes and needs the same way that you do. Guess what? It's not true. Men and women don't want to need the same thing. And if you apply the golden rule...
I don't know whether I think that you're taking the golden rule too literally or not literally enough.
It's not the iTunes terms and conditions. it's a gist.
I appreciate...
Well, vibe.
I mean, I appreciate that, like all religious people...
If it's in the zone...
let me know. I interpret it as treat people the way you would like to be treated.
Okay, so no true Scotsman is the argument, is what you're saying.
I'm sorry?
You're saying no true Scotsman. In other words, the way I'm saying that it should be taken is not the way anybody takes it. Is that your argument?
No, I thought everybody took it the way I take it.
I think he means
this is the first
that.
Time
and
I'm,
therein lies not, my fucking complaint.
I did not get the memo on this.
I think he means that you should treat everyone nicely, and it's everybody.
No, quite literally.
If you want to be treated nicely, you should treat everybody else nicely.
It's an Eastern philosophical origin. It's the idea that it's the idea of karma, mitzvah, if you will, for the Jews, is that treat people the way you want them to treat you.
Right.
And I mean, you find that
it doesn't work.
What if I like to be cut with a razor blade at night?
What's that?
What'd exactly.
You say? No, I didn't hear you.
What if I want to be cut with a razor blade at night?
You see,
so I should treat you the same way.
You are
literal.
Get off my
knife. We're talking about a worldview here. We're not talking about your particular fetishes.
No, it's not true. She prefers it in the morning.
Ted Bundy was following the golden rule.
Say again?
Maybe Ted Bundy was following the golden rule.
Well, how do you figure?
Well, he wanted them to slit his throat and rape him as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was before Craigslist.
The problem... You got to moan. We got to fucking moan.
That was good gear.
There's some guy in Germany posted that he wanted people to have sex with and then eat.
Eight.
And he got eight replies.
I know every time this debate comes up, people talk about cannibalism like it's repulsive, but...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're right. Get off our high horses.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing, right? I would eat a person. I would try it. And I'm a vegetarian, which is weird.
Wait, are we talking about like on a brunch menu or like after
a
plane
ride? But this is my thing, Paul. It's like I have licked them. They are delicious. I bite my fingernails. I enjoy that. I think I would like it.
You're going to have to try it sometime.
You're a vegetarian,
Now I have to
Will?
Rethink everything.
Prashant,
you're a vegetarian?
Yeah.
For how long?
14, 2 more hours.
14 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it on a moral ground?
Yeah, I grew
because
up
because you watched Food Inc. or something like that.
No, I grew up not 14 years ago. I grew up on a dairy farm. My parents are dairy farmers.
Okay.
And I'm a vegetarian, not a vegan. I still eat dairy products because I grew up on a dairy farm and in Australia.
And you're not Jewish.
I got to be honest with you, in Australia, you know what? I will not kill a cow so I can eat it, but if I can squeeze a cow and delicious shit comes out, here's what I'm going to do. Squeeze the shit out of that cow. All the most delicious shit in the world comes out of a cow if you squeeze a cow for long enough. Milk comes out of a cow. Cream comes out of a cow. Sour cream comes out of a cow. Ice cream comes out of a cow. Chocolate comes out of a cow. And cheese comes out of a cow.
I didn't know there were that many breeds.
Cows are nature's vending machines.
But it's a very different thing also, because I don't think there's anything cruel about playing with a cow's tits. I think the cow might enjoy it.
My family were very good to cows. I'm not saying that's the case for every family. But
of course they were. You're Australian.
But I've been a vegetarian since. We used to have this thing called the mobile butcher van. So what would happen? It was like a Mr. Whippy or like a food van, right? Mm-hmm. Would come around to your house. But it had a butchery in the back of the van. And so they would put a cow in the back of this van. And they would essentially butcher the cow. And we would have these giant tub freezers where everything you can make a cow into would go steaks and chops and sausages and whatever. And then just for 6 months, we would eat all these things out of this. And my dad eats meat 3 times a day. Like, he's like one of those, just gets up in the morning, sees a cow walking too slow. He's like,
oh my God.
My dad
did that start by licking them? For the cow.
Right?
Every day you just pick some cow, the other cows are freaking the fuck out as who's going to be taken.
Like, he's like Dexter, but he only kills the evil cows. but he literally is like one of those.
The cow police have little push pins and a map.
He loves eating meat. He's so tough, my dad. He's so different to me. Like, this is a true story about my dad. He grew up on the road that he was born on, which is called Anderson Road, which is named after my grandfather, who built the road by hand after the war. My dad has only ever lived on that same road. He married the first woman that he ever kissed. He has never drunk alcohol. He's never tried drugs. He never smoked a cigarette. We have nothing in common. But he lives on the road he was born on, still works on the farm. Mum and him are still together. It's a brilliant story. This is how tough my dad is, how different to me he is. In January last year, my dad had a heart attack, did not notice for a week. Went to the doctor a week. Yeah, his chest got sore. He was like, no time for this shit. Come on.
he just went, ooh, I gotta have a steak.
Yeah. But I used to see these cows butchered, and I just knew that as a human being, I have this thing, and again, I'm so sorry to talk about fucking spiritual issues on this thing, but I just feel there's something about taking a dead thing into your body that is not right. Just on some weird spiritual level that I don't understand. I don't like the idea of killing something and they're going, we have killed something.
Well, you know what?
And
that
then we
is,
should feast on the flesh.
Boy, is that a good point. Because that is a result of us separating ourselves from nature, which is a very Judeo-Christian thing. The idea that we have dominion over the animals and what have you. If you put ourselves back in nature, then, from a reductionist perspective, it's exactly what should
happen. Are you going vegetarian,
across the animal kingdom all over the globe. The idea that somehow we, because we're humans or we have the ability to reason or whatever, that's for some reason we're outside of what is nature for all the rest of living creatures on Earth is a Judeo-Christian concept.
Yeah.
Do unto other animals as you would have them do unto you. So you are a vegetarian, right?
No, I'm not.
I hate everything.
What the Hindu are you?
Paul, in a weird way, do you view that idea as some a type of arrogance?
Yeah, I do. I don't want to qualify it as arrogance, but there's a disconnect there. And the bottom line is, if if the plug gets pulled on the infrastructure and we've all got to grow our own food, we're morons. We have no idea how to eat unless it's in a package in a store distributed from thousands of
miles. I have cilantro on my fucking balcony right now.
I don't think we really... I think our separation from nature is the result...
Oh, the fuck I can't.
I think this removal of ourselves from the natural processes of the world is part of our disconnect. I guess it is arrogance, but it's arrogance that was sort of foisted upon us by the institution of Judeo-Christianity.
Yeah, arrogance suggests like a premeditated choice to be that way. In fact, we are just conditioned that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I
want to
really
get back
about parsing that, but I do think that disconnect is really, really profound, and it's happened in again, related to Judeo-Christianity, but it's happened in sexuality. How sexuality is proscribed so culturally that it's completely devoid of anything natural and organic. You know, our minds get into it, and our morality, or what the morality that is imposed upon us, or our notion of what's acceptable or not acceptable, keeps us from exploring whatever our nature intends for us to explore. And I just kind of feel like we're so separate from nature. Like, I'm disturbed about this fact that most young girls, women.
You got my attention now.
From a generation or two back, I would say, almost all women in the West, none of them have ever actually experienced their bodies the way nature intended.
Yeah.
I mean, from the moment you can start plucking or shaving, you pluck and you shave and you tweak and you this and you that. Like, we go our entire lives without actually even knowing what we're supposed to be.
Well, what do you mean supposed to?
What nature intended us to be.
I don't understand
all
the whole nature intended bullshit. I don't go with that. I don't think nature intended that women not shave their pubes, for example.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that it says something. I think it says something. But again, we'll get into this in private, my friend.
I don't think there's a natural intent. I think that we have
the
choices.
All I'm saying is that I think that there is something, there is a disconnect, and this is a manifestation of it. The fact that it's particularly difficult for women. I'm going to say women in general, and I'm saying this as a defender of women.
It's not.
I'm so sorry. It just sounded like you were going to say, and I'm saying this as a woman.
As a woman. What's tonight? That's usually Fridays.
I think it's harder to shave your balls for the record. But go on.
I just don't understand how you can be a sentient creature and spend your whole life without ever going, what happens if I don't do all this stuff that culture has told me I need to do to myself? Like, what happens if I just let myself be the animal I was born to be?
You live in L.A. Homeless do it every day. There are some people who know, and it's kind of awful.
I was like, I know. I like your philosophy. Don't get me wrong.
We live in Los Angeles.
We all love
your
philosophy, but isn't like what nature intended? Like, if you really believed in what nature intended, you wouldn't be at the fucking John Lovitz doing a podcast. Like, this is
clearly
this is not what nature intended.
Well, yeah.
Clearly,
right?
I'm talking about as an animal.
Yeah,
as an animal.
Yeah.
Okay, because we are animals, right. And that's hard for people to understand.
Yeah.
That's used as an insult. He's an animal.
Yeah.
You know, we are animals, and we somehow don't want to accept that we are animals. And I just think it's interesting. I don't even make a judgment about it, although I personally kind of feel like that's kind of creepy that you could go your whole life without ever knowing what you're naturally meant to be. But that you're constantly modifying your being based on sort of, cultural norms.
And we have been doing this, obviously, for thousands of years.
Do you mean
thousands.
Exercising? Too?
No,
whatever.
Out?
Whatever. I'm not saying that because I'm just saying. It's not a big discussion. It's just a simple example of what I'm saying, that we are so removed from our natural state that we don't even know what physically our bodies actually are without modification.
Yeah.
People go through an entire lifetime without knowing what they're actually feeling it.
But don't you have to, don't you have a choice as a human being not to do that as well? And isn't that what makes you kind of fun and
how many people here have
different?
Ever thought about that?
Man,
nobody.
Has anybody ever thought what? About like
really?
I've gone my whole life without being
man?
Hold on, what's this?
No more Barbie.
Barbara. Provenza's just trying to figure out which women shave their pubes in the audience. That's show of hands. How many of you shave?
I wouldn't say no more Barbies. Here's what I would say. Let the Barbies be Barbies, because then we know who the fucking Barbies are and we can avoid the Barbies, right?
That's what you put shrimp on, right?
We want people to like...
I think he's talking about cops. I'm not quite sure what he's talking about.
Life is like a giant game of Guess Who. Do you remember that game? Where you pick the people and you eliminate the ones you don't want to hang out with. Let the Barbies be Barbies. Click, click, click. Let the right-wing religious be right-wing religious. Click, click, click. I can find the people I like and hang out with the people that I like.
That's kind of how I
can identify the people.
That's kind of how I feel
like.
About world peace. Like, you know, can't we all get along? No, we can't and we shouldn't. We should all just go our own separate ways. Kind of what I think is probably the way.
I will let anybody be anything until they try and tell someone else they can't be what they want to be, and that's what's happening with religion in my country. And
A great high five.
Yeah. Say again.
A great high five.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say?
Ah. I actually had to do my high five. A great high five.
Okay. You're listening to the award-winning Ardent Atheist on GoCast Network, ardentatheist.com, and available at the iTunes Store. We'll be right back. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to a few of our listeners. Mom is listening. Don DiNatale, Josh Godby, Justin Harnish, Berendo, Herbie, Secularius, that's Lyle, Kyle, no relation to Lyle, CJ, Susie, Zagaz, Cameron Winters, and as always, Joe Swam. These were the people chatting on the award-winning Wall of Reason last week. Keep posting, everybody. We love seeing all your delicious content.
And now, back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Paul Provenza, Will Anderson, and Prashant Venkataranamajam.
Hey, Emery, when's this show start?
It's in about 5 minutes to start. The golden rule, I think, is shit, and I think it should be replaced by the platinum rule. Okay. The platinum rule is imperfect, I will admit.
I like this. I like you have an alternative. What is the platinum rule?
The platinum rule, again, slightly imperfect, but wildly better than the golden rule. Okay. Do unto others as they would have you do unto them. That tells us that everybody doesn't want, need, or like the same thing. That tells us we have to ask the Arab what he prefers. You want to hold hands while we walk in public? Just let me know. I'll check in with you. I'll find out what you want. I'm not comfortable with that. We got to talk to each other. We got to figure out what each other wants.
God damn it, Emery. Who do we talk to about this?
The individual.
I got to be honest with you, Drew. That is one of the most mind-blowing things I've ever heard in my life. I think that is so amazing. And you know what the horrible irony of it is? That would be the best thing to start a religion around.
Oh, I can't wait to
crucify
Emery. Beating part.
For his beliefs and snuff this idea out.
I think I want to hear a song. Who wants to hear a song?
Yes.
Let's hear a song, ladies and gentlemen, from Eric Schwartz. Woo!
All right. Hi, Paul. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. Well, I'm frickin' sick and tired of turning on the news and seeing the religious rights ungodly fight to take our right to choose when to bear our children, who to love and how, education and protection if we're just practicing for now. It's a centaurum, look, obey a book if that's what works for you, but I don't tell you how to pray, so don't you tell me how to screw. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible. Hey, everybody, it's a sing-along. Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses on my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep my penis off of you. Aight. So you're screaming bloody murder about the Taliban regime for subjugating women and being too extreme and basing legislation on some ancient holy book. That sound a bit familiar? Here's a mirror. Have a look. And as for the Ten Commandments, they need one more at least. Thou shalt never cover up the acts of pervert priests. Now how they let that happen? Unless they just abhor us. Well, anyway, it adds another layer to the chorus. Keep your Jesus off my penis. Keep your Bible off my balls. Keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses on my walls. can keep the Virgin Mother and the Resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep my penis off of you. So, you'll execute a person and then protect a single cell. But mercy kill the terminally ill and you're going straight to hell. Look, I don't know much about the word of God. Far be it from me. But I tell you what, it ain't hypocristianity. Now, I am not anti-Christian. Before you grab a rope, there is beauty in religion and joy and love and hope. And we're all looking for the answer, that colossal cosmic cause. But who the fuck are you to turn your myths into my law? It's just believers in the Bible that would have abortion banned. Anti-choice agnostics, I can count them on one hand. And as for killing babies, I have but one retort. If someone raped your daughter, Santorum, you'd beg her to abort. And if some young girl from your church shows up with child or some infection, because you taught her what a horrid sin it was to use protection, well, one day you'll face the pearly gates. And what you gonna say? When that long-haired Jewish peacenik sends your ass the other way, say, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my wall. I have had it up to here with all the bibliophile you spew. Keep your Jesus off my penis, at least that's what I would do. Yeah, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep my penis off you. That's if and you want me to.
That is it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. I want to thank our guests Paul Provenza, Will Anderson, Prashant Venka, Taramanajum. I fucked it up again.
It's all good.
Also, let's hear it for Ian Harris, who was up here for a little bit. Also, let's have a round of applause for our godless musicians.
Yeah.
Scott Bredman, Karen Hart, Roy Weinberger, Heather Henderson will be singing a little later with the band, and our band director, Gary Stockdale. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson.
That's me. Yeah.
Tune in next week when our guest will be...
someone's name who is pronounceable.
That's right. And we'll be talking about...
what am I, psychic?
Of course you aren't. This has been the free version of episode 99. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. Here's a nice surprise. We're going to keep streaming for the additional 30 minutes. If you're watching live right now, you get to watch the premium episode as it streams. If you're listening via iTunes, you're fucked. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph, HIV negative, Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron, HIV curious, Winters.
Yeah, he tried it once in college. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.